Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't shot, you see? I know the story, just listen to me. Talk.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Oh my, I've been looking forward to this for days. What a blessing it is, I've said this before, I know, to do talk radio when there is so much going on. I mean, it's like, I don't know, am I allowed to make this analogy? You're not allowed to. God forbid we should say anything politically correct or we get fired. Luckily, my boss at Spouting Off is a pretty, she doesn't care I'm having a total meltdown here. She doesn't care about political correctness. She likes it. And of course, that boss is me. Sometimes that boss is a little forgetful, but not as forgetful as Joe Biden. So I was going to say, it's like shooting apples in a barrel to talk about leftists. Yesterday, I did an interview in my car and a debate. This Vancouver radio station calls me often, relatively often. Every time there's something with Trump, they call me so that I can debate this Democrat. It's the same Democrat that I've always debated. And it's really quite hilarious because yesterday it really was like shooting apples in a barrel. The poor guy, you know, I kept hammering away at all of the inconsistencies and the preposterousnesses, say that fast five times, of trying to defend this row of clowns that are running for president. I mean, any one of them, I'm not worried about, although I would love to see Trump go up against Joe Biden. Don't think that'll happen. Looks like I just got my primary ballot in the mail today. My dog was barking. The mail came, and there it was, two different ballots. That's one of the reasons I'm unaffiliated in Colorado, because they've made it virtually unnecessary to be affiliated with a party. I just love the way Democrats constantly change rules to suit them. So what we need to do is, whenever they do that, first of all, we shouldn't let them do it, get away with it. But secondly, we ought to use their rules against them. That's what Donald Trump does. That's always what Donald Trump does. So, you know, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be pushed in the rearview mirror too quickly. And that's what I think is so troubling, is the Democrats continue to steal thunder and tell lies, and they always get away with it. And then when they're found to be liars and fraudulent and all the rest, they just move on to the next lie. It looks like Donald Trump and even the AG Barr is sick of that. I think they're going to start going on the offensive. Donald Trump is a counterpuncher, as we know, but he's been punched and punched and punched, and he keeps turning the tables on him. And now it looks like, for the tiniest time before they put together their next articles of impeachment, because they never learn, and we're talking about the Democrats here, just in case you know, I think that Donald Trump is going to start playing offense on these people. Because, my God, somebody's got to do it. Every single accusation, every single jumping up and down, hair on fire thing that they say and do has a massive fault in it, a massive flaw, every single thing. I mean, show me one thing other than, I mean, nothing, because they can't argue. They can't argue with his phenomenal success. They can't argue with the fact that he keeps beating them. They can't argue with his massive crowds, which make them look stupid. They can't argue about any of it. And now they're on the side of failure. Unbelievable. So before we leave some of these things that went by so quickly last week, we need to really talk a little bit about, for example, the Iowa caucuses. That is one thing that I must comment about. Everybody has commented, and I'm glad that people said quite clearly, unadulteratedly, if you see the kind of fraud and the kind of incompetence, and the two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive, but I'm thinking it's more fraud, that the Democrats have already begun to engage in order to get Bernie Sanders off the top of the ticket, to try to cheat take the nomination away from him. Who knows how it's all going to turn out, but they already got caught doing it the last time. And do you think they'd ever learn? No. But here's the lesson that always gets lost. And that is, if to these leftists, to these Bernie Sanders supporters, if the people that you're so angry at, the Democrats, would lie, cheat, and steal about that, don't you think they'd lie and cheat and steal about Republicans, about the fact that they're racist, which they are not? Their ideology isn't remotely racist, which it is not. Just ask that next question. We have a wonderful guest coming up, which I'll tell you more about. Gary Goldman is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And boy, is that going to be fun. Because he's qualified and able to talk about just about every one of the issues of the day. Who knows how it's going to turn out? When I talk to Gary Goldman on the phone at roughly 11:25-ish, 1:25 Eastern, 10:25 Pacific time. And this, I just couldn't give up the opportunity to play for you. It's just too entertaining. So as I look at my primary ballots, both Democrat and Republican, and I'll probably vote in the Democrat primary, it's a real toss-up as to who to vote for, whether it's Biden or Bernie. Isn't it funny, all these guys, Biden, Bernie, Buttigieg, Bloomberg. I don't know what it is with Democrats and B names, but that's beside the point. So Biden and Bernie Sanders, that is, I don't know who to vote for, because neither one of them the Democrats are excited about. In making my rare predictions, I'm not convinced that the people that we are seeing here on this day of the New Hampshire primary, by the way, that any of them are going to end up being the nominee. Not if the Democrats can help it. They don't believe that people every day, the peons out there, have a right to decide who their president is, who their Democrat nominee is, who they don't think they have the right to do anything, let alone choose what pronoun they have a right that they ought to use. So this past weekend, and it's just an embarrassment of riches, this one was just too delicious not to play. Here's Joe Biden getting mad because he's actually getting a tough question. If you don't hear the beginning of it, this young woman, she's a perfectly lovely young woman, and she says, I'm going to be mean for a minute. Nobody's ever mean to Democrats. And mean means that you're asking an actual question. You're asking an actual obvious question that is like the elephant in the living room that everybody's thinking, but they're too polite to ask. Now, they wouldn't mind for a second if those and more were asked to Donald Trump, who they already hate. But Joe Biden, oh no, you're not allowed to ask him, but she does anyway. Get a load of this. Let's play this cut. Doug, thank you.
So how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
Iowa's a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a little bit confusing in Iowa. Number one. But let's assume.
I was a Democrat caucus. First off, does that make a bit of sense? I was a Democrat caucus. What planet is he living on? And then he continues. And of course, the Twitter universe went nuts over this one. I was one person who said, I'm going to change my Twitter handle to lying dog face pony pony watcher. See, I've been saying it so many times I forgot already. So lying dog face pony watcher. Unbelievable. Can you imagine if Donald Trump said such a thing to a woman? A lying dog face anything? Actually, he has said that. And the left went bonkers. They were jumping up and down. Hysterical. They were hysterical jumping up and down. A lying dog face. Unbelievable. So the faux outrage with which the left has jumped up and down, as I said, about Trump, and then they don't really do much of anything. They laugh. They laugh because she has the audacity to ask a tough question. They laugh at what he says because they're working on groupthink. That's what they're living for. I don't know. I think there's something seriously wrong. Maybe that's what I have today. I have a little bit of Joe Biden-ology here because certain thoughts are going bye-bye in my head. It happens. I don't know. It's been happening more often lately. Hopefully, it won't be too much of a problem. I think it's because I had a nice hot bath this morning, and I'm so relaxed. And that's part of it, isn't it? With all this stuff going on, Donald Trump got acquitted finally, and thank God that even the corrupt Republicans realized that Donald Trump is a phenomenon. He is a force, and they needed to stick with him, or Republicans would never believe them again in their lives. And Donald Trump has the wind at his back. I was asked at that debate, so are you worried about John Bolton and his book coming out? And I had the decency not to laugh. And I said, no, I'm not worried about John Bolton at all. My humble prediction is that whatever is in John Bolton's book isn't going to be the bombshell they think it is. It already served its purpose, which is to take the focus of the Trump's defense team away so that the media would have something to talk about other than these damning charges that have been leveled at not only Joe Biden, who's gotten away with it thus far, but John Kerry. Gee, I wonder why he's for impeachment. Nancy Pelosi's kid. And what do you know, Mitt Romney's kid are all wrapped up in this Ukraine thing. Here's another thing they don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike, that's something that I want to talk about. That's why they keep mischaracterizing everything Donald Trump says. And they are using some of the hardest core propaganda techniques that many Americans never thought we'd see here. Did we ever think we would see such propaganda techniques where the media is reporting things that didn't even happen, that aren't even sound logically or rationally or constitutionally? I mean, and look how long it takes for someone like me when I'm doing Vancouver radio or whatever to try and explain in a quick soundbite why it is that Donald Trump didn't even merit the slightest impeachment articles in the first place, let alone were guilty of them. They tried to accuse Donald Trump of a crime that wasn't a crime, and furthermore, he didn't even do it. So he didn't do a crime that they're claiming is a crime, and they're saying he thought about doing it. You know? And in order to say that, people think, boy, I mean, how do you say that in a soundbite? It's difficult. And yet, there were 24 hours on both sides of testimony, and all the left could do was tout what the Democrats said and absolutely ignore and try to obfuscate and try to cover up and try to steal the limelight from the defense in order to cover up the damning charges, not just of Biden, but of so many of the Democrats that are tied up in this. So it's frustrating. It's annoying. But hey, we're winning, guys. We're winning. And the left is jumping up and down with their hair on fire. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about a piece I have coming out in a major publication. Can't say it because I jinx it. Every time I do that, something goes wrong and it doesn't happen. So we'll be talking about that after this break. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Gary Goldman with us here on Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Karen Cataline, your happy host here on Spouting Off. Before we get to my article, I noticed something on the HuffPost AOL. Don't ask me why I'm still on AOL. I think it's because of all those group emails that you can send out at one time. If I ever get my mailing system all worked out, which could be, I don't know, during the next ice age, then I'm going to get off AOL. But in the meantime, I just love, it's so precious, precious what the HuffPo does. So I copied this off because it was so hilarious. So one of the reasons I'm a little spacey is hard to keep up with all this that's going on, but we do our best. I mean, some of you, you just leave and say, you know what? I'm going out to have clams, something. How gullible do you have to be to believe these people again and again and again? So here's an article about Donald Trump's, as they call it, wild rally last night in New Hampshire. It's not only brilliant, it's terrific that Donald Trump continues to have rallies to show up how unpopular, how out of touch the Democrat bunch of candidates really are. So get this, there's some bullet points I just wanted to share with you because they're so out of touch and minor, typical but minor compared to what they've been doing. At the Monday rally in New Hampshire, this is quoting Huffington Post AOL News, which I don't know, I might be the last person who reads it. Trump reprised a crowd favorite from his 2016 presidential campaign, reciting a 1963 poem called The Snake, which he used to push his anti-migrant message. You see how they do that? So, no, he was pushing his message of tightening our borders and illegal immigration, but they make sure it says anti-migrant. So he just doesn't like migrants because he's mean, right? Here's another one. The president also lavished praise on his supporters and family, particularly his daughter, Ivanka, whom he called beautiful and called on stage. They put the word beautiful in quotes. How dare he? That sounds a little like our friend from Sweden. How dare you call your own daughter beautiful? That's sexist. That's terrible. You incestor, you. I mean, you see how, God forbid, he called his own daughter beautiful because he's such a low life that he calls his daughter beautiful. Have you ever heard Democrats demonizing something that is, you know, innocent and the way New Yorkers talk? And yet, these are the same people who want to give hormone blockers to five-year-olds. These are the same people that celebrate 11-year-old drag queens. But my God, don't call your own daughter beautiful. If you say, my beautiful daughter Ivanka, or if you say, she's so beautiful, my daughter, I just love her so much. None of that is allowed in the leftist playbook, especially if your name is Donald Trump. So I talk about this because, well, we have to. That's why I talk about it. We have to talk about it because we are constantly being bombarded with the level of propaganda that just tells you, telegraphs to you what you're supposed to think about anything. You know, you are not allowed to think for yourself in the Democrat lexicon. You are required to think as we tell you to think. You must hate what we tell you to hate. You must love what we tell you to love. And God forbid you should use your own common sense. That's what they are. Those are the threats to leftism, is thinking for yourself, asking a question, questioning, as this young woman did to Joe Biden. You're not allowed to do that. Then they go on to say that many critics have repeatedly denounced Trump's version of that poem I told you about, the snake, about, well, you knew what I was when you brought me home, as racist scaremongering. You see how they totally disavow any responsibility for calling it racist scaremongering for themselves. They try to give credibility where credibility is never due by saying many critics have repeatedly denounced. Well, who are those critics and who's denouncing them? Well, they're leftists from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, my God. You can't keep up with this stuff. He's stealing it and he's twisting Oscar's meaning. This is Oscar, the person who wrote the poem. And to serve his campaign and climate of intolerance and hate, which is the opposite of what the original author Oscar Brown intended. So we are supposed to know that if you are against illegal aliens breaking our laws and coming into our country, and I know we've said this before, it should be a patent acceptance. It should be automatically assumed that that's intolerance and hate. You see how that works? We're not allowed to even ask, what do you mean intolerance and hate? It's the same thing I wrote about this piece, perfect segue, I guess, into the piece that I wrote this week that I think will be published elsewhere on the internet as well as on my website alone, called Democrats Dog Whistle to the Base. Democrats dog whistle to the base. I sound like Mitch McConnell. He repeats things he thinks are important. And boy, he did a wonderful job in the impeachment. So here's the Democrats dog whistle to the base. Start lying again. That's what they want them to do. Start lying again. And so the segue that I was making is that we are not allowed to ask, somewhere in this piece I wrote, we're not allowed, oh, I know what it was. We're not allowed to ask, for example, if there are trans kids. They start putting that out there as trans kids. And so we're supposed to just accept that without saying, what do you mean trans kids? There are virtually no trans kids except for a teeny weeny tiny percentage of kids who have three chromosomes or have very irregular or wrong genetics. And of course, we are supposed to believe that there is this burgeoning group of trans kids whose rights are being trampled on. It is a fig Newton of their imagination. That's what it is. But this piece that I wrote, Democrats dog whistle to the base, start lying again. You know, when I see more than one example of something, I immediately figure that it's the Democrats getting a a memo to their base that you better start moving to the right, to the so-called center, which is imaginary. It doesn't even exist because they've moved the center, quote unquote, so far to the left that the center is the left today. And the best example of that is that John F. Kennedy, about 50 years ago, would have been a center-right Republican. But what is so interesting is James Carville went on a rant this week about his own party, in which he said, quotable quote, "We're losing our damn minds." See, I can't really do James Carville justice, but he is from the South, so he said, "We're losing our damn minds." He groused about a few silly Democrat ideas, but really didn't mention the number of silly Democrat ideas that needed to be mentioned. He mentioned things he's not for, which are free college, voting from jail, criminals voting from jail, the full and complete eradication of our borders. But he didn't mention a host of other insane ideas that America is generally not for. Things like health care for illegal aliens, for which every single Democrat political candidate for president raised their hands when they were asked, should illegals have paid health care? Now, never mind, they want to force us to buy health care that is totally impossible to afford. Obamacare was a massive glaring failure, but they're going to take our tax dollars and make sure that illegals who came into this country illegally get health care. And, you know, and they'd like you to think that that is an everyday position to have. And of course, we have reparations for blacks, which is an out and out blatant bribe to black voters. See, vote for me and I'll get you some money. Teaching gender fluidity to 5-year-olds, celebrating 11-year-old drag queens, which I grouse about frequently, calling all white people in America itself racist. We got the Green New Deal, and if that isn't enough to make you drive right off the road, hope you're not listening to this on your car phone, or we have a listen-in only line, which you can also do. But before you look into the New Way Forward Act, which is Tucker Carlson mentioned this, which is basically not only to eradicate our borders, but to invite criminal, illegal aliens in this country while Donald Trump is trying to get them out of the country. Evidently, Democrats don't really care quite as much about keeping people safe as they'd like you to believe, don't you know? So, and then Chris Matthews chimed in and said something like this: "I've seen what socialism is like and I don't like it." My question to Chris Matthews and to James Carville is, where have you been? You know what? They weren't against their presidential candidates when they were spouting off ridiculous ideas that will destroy this country. They don't care about that. What they care about is winning. And they know that Democrats have mostly won by lying and by cheating, but mostly lying. Lots of cheating going on, too. Okay. So in order for Democrats to have gotten into office, they've had to lie about how moderate they are. Since I'm coming up on a break, what I want to say and the whole sum up here is something that I would like to be Paulette Revere about. And most of you are on top of this anyway. My listeners certainly are. But when you see out of nowhere, James Carville, Democrat strategist, Chris Matthews with the thrill up his leg and the crease in Obama's pants, telling you how they aren't socialists and they think the Democrats have gotten off the deep end, I say, horse pucky. That's what I say. Not true, not for a minute. The Democrats are going to try to run someone who claims to be a moderate, and nothing will be further from the truth. They have phony moderates today because the hard left controls their party. What they're going to try to do, and they've painted themselves into a corner, is to wink at all their hard leftists and say, we just have to say this to get elected. But don't worry, we're going to work really hard to upend the entire country with leftist socialist policies. Just let us get power back first. That's what's going on. We've seen it again and again. And we're going to see it again. So, what they say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice and never say this right, shame on me. Lots of people have been fooled again and again and again and again. Let's not do it again. All right. Let's call, if Bloomberg is the candidate, and I doubt he will be, let's make sure people know that he's about as much of a moderate as I am, tall and blonde. Okay. So, that's it on that spouting off rant on this, our 99th show. Can you believe that? 99th show. Next week, we're going to celebrate 100 shows with BBS Radio. When we come back, we have Gary Goldman, a commentator, and he has his own show. He's a talk show host. And I cannot wait to hear from Gary Goldman. About anything and everything. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we get back on Spouting Off, we'll talk to Gary right after this.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. I am delighted to have with us once again. We've had him on once before, but he's just great. He is a nationally recognized host of Business, Politics, and Lifestyles, a weekly talk show airing on WCRN 830 in Metro Boston. And I was talking to him off air, and he said all the political candidates for the left are in his neck of the woods right nearby in New Hampshire. So we're going to start off with that. But first, welcome to Spouting Off, Gary Goldman. Thanks for joining us.
Karen, thank you for having me on.
Good, good. So we are talking now on the very day of the New Hampshire primary. We'll get to watch and see whether they can get their act together better than in Iowa. But what are your thoughts going into this evening? What do you expect to see? What do you want to see?
You know, I'm not sure what to expect. I've been watching some of the poll, the preliminary numbers that have been popping up. And right off the bat, Amy Klobuchar is the one ahead with a small percentage of the precincts reporting. But this has to be, Karen, like the biggest misfit of candidates I've ever seen in my life. You know, the problem is if they would really stop attacking one another and jumping on each other's bandwagon and maybe tell the American people what they're all about, they may have a chance. But they are all over the place. They're constantly, you know, in their own little way battling one another. Joe Biden's already left New Hampshire. I think that says anything. He's heading to South Carolina. So I think that tells you he has an idea of where he's going to poll up there. And look at his little episode up there the other day with the comments that he made to a young woman that asked him a question, I think says it all. I mean,
we covered that earlier, and it is so entertaining.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. And you have Elizabeth Warren from, you know, our senator here in Massachusetts that would say anything or do anything to, you know, change her policy in a heartbeat to accommodate the crowd she's in front of. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be interesting how this plays out at the end of the day. But, you know, either way, it's a long road to their convention. And I'm very concerned that no matter what happens during the primaries, if Bernie's people feel that they've been, you know, chopped off at their feet one more time, I'm not sure I'd want to be at that convention this summer, because I don't think it's going to be all that great of a convention from a number of different levels. But just from some of the comments and quote-unquote threats that his people have made, you know, they'll burn down the city.
Right.
And I think they mean it. I don't think they're going to sit back and allow anybody, whether it's legitimate or not, in their eyes it will be illegitimate, steal the election from him.
They've been known to do that, haven't they? They continue to make threats, and it was James O'Keefe who exposed that. far as I know, Bernie Sanders has yet to disavow the fact that his campaign directors, some of them actually believe in putting us in gulags. I don't think that he's disavowed that in any sort of a way. He's just trying to ignore it. And, you know, the Democrats have a huge history of revering 1968. I'm in the Colorado area, and during the presidential convention, there were a whole group of people that kept saying they were going to recreate 68. Hilarious, given the fact that all the misbehavior of the Democrats in 68 is what pushed Richard Nixon over the finish line. So I say, hey, go for it, guys. Don't hurt anybody. But you know what? You want to have a fun little riot? Go for it. Yeah, these people, they lost their minds.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure you find it on occasion or on a regular basis, just trying to have any type of conversation. Or I've been in conversations, Karen, talking to friends where, you know, of course, we'll be talking about Trump or, you know, at the time of the impeachment. And just people standing in line, whether it's at a coffee shop or whatever, will jump in and start trying to, what they consider, you know, get involved in your conversation. First of all, I find that just humorous in and of itself. But
yes,
it's not even that. It's their tone and the comments they make. You know, look, I have this thing about, you know, opinion versus everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but your facts have to be straight.
Yeah.
And I find their facts are based on what they hear on this, you know, this mainstream media, which I refer to as the agents of the Democratic Party, and what they find on social media, and they just argue that and argue that. But when you throw something back, you ask them a question, they stop and they get very, you know, antsy and sometimes nasty. They can never answer a solid question. So it's a very strange phenomenon going on right now. And, you know, to add insult to the wound, President Trump was up in New Hampshire last night, and I had some friends up there that went to that. I've been to Trump rallies before. They are a phenomenon like you have never seen. He said this one was just over the top, totally over the top.
Yeah, yeah. He just keeps getting better and better. But I want to go back to something that you said.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, seeing as how you live in a Democrat stronghold of Boston, mm-hmm. or Boston, as the case may be, you mentioned that people come up to you. Have they come up to you personally and try to involve themselves in your conversation? If so, could you give us an example? Because I'd love to know what you're hearing out there in Boston.
Well, I was having coffee with a friend of mine last week, right before, I think it was the day of the Senate vote or the day after the Senate vote, and we were talking about, you know, it's about time they put this to rest. Let's get on with the business of the people. It's just, you know, what so much could be accomplished. This is how my friend and I, Doug, were talking, how so much could be accomplished if we, and this individual comes in and goes, how can we get on to the business of the people if the guilty party is getting away with, you know, the crimes that he's committed? What crimes are those? What did he commit? You know, and you backtrack, Karen, the whole process to, you know, the conversation, the president put all this stuff out there. He was very transparent about it, and they don't care. I'm all over the traveling recently for my consulting part of my work, but talking to people in different pockets of the country, obviously it's different. But here in Boston, there's a hatred, and I was at dinner Friday night with some friends, and I actually had to take a step back because I was getting too, you know, worked up over this. But there's a hate, just the hatred for the president shadows everything that he's done. They will not admit his successes. They do not want to talk about the success. Of course, I bring it back. How are you doing at work? How's your paycheck? Are things doing well for you financially? Is, you know, And when you say that to them, they answer, yes, yes, yes. But their new line that I noticed has come up more and more is that this is Barack Obama's economy, which I just have to laugh when I say that. I've gotten that more the last few weeks than I ever have. But
and you know
it's
why?
Absolutely crazy.
Gary, you know why? See, this is something Republicans aren't very good at, but I watch it again and again. Maybe it's my theatrical background. It was when Nancy Pelosi, everybody thought, what an idiot, right? She's going out there and she's going to try and either defend or gloss over the fact that she ripped up the speech. This was damage control. But what she did, and what Democrats always do, is hand their base their talking points. And the talking point was how outrageous it was that Donald Trump was taking credit for an economy, which you and I both know is because he lowered regulation. He invited businesses back to the country that Obama had not just scared away, but terrified away. And we know the reasons for that. And yet, all of a sudden, in a Democrat stronghold, you're hearing that precise thing. It's Obama's economy. So they tell people that,
right.
Which leads me to the perfect question, Gary. I don't know how perfect it is, but I'm always wondering what little tidbit can get people to start asking questions. Now, there's certainly a group of rabid, rabid Democrat leftists who will never listen to an ounce of reason, no matter what you say. But there are still people that you can say something like, yeah, what I want to say to them is, how gullible are you? Okay. Now, I know that's an insult, but if you can somehow chip away at the notion that they're believing every talking point the Democrats have given them, have they ever thought to question those talking points and see if there's any there? Have you ever, I guess my question is for you, have you ever had a really rousing success at something that you asked one of those folks that made them go, I'll check that out? And then they came back and said, damn, you're right, and started to question this false Democrat narrative the Democrats have been pushing.
And the answer, the simple answer is no, I have not. And,
no.
And again, at a dinner party or dinner engagement last, I think it was Friday evening, I get, you know, if you're anything to do with Trump, they love to team up on you. But I started asking questions like that, and where are you getting your information? And why do you believe everything that you're reading on social media or you're hearing from the mainstream press without doing any investigation on your own? Because, the point is, Karen, if you listen to what they're saying and you look at the reality of the what's going on in the world around us, which is pretty damn good, the president is doing a great job, and they're somewhat hypocrites because they're willing to, take the benefits of what Trump's doing, but they don't want to admit that it's him that's doing it. They refuse to talk about it. A lot of people just refuse to go and investigate it on their own. I said, what harm would it do for you to look a little further into a comment that the mainstream media is making? If someone proposes a question to you, why wouldn't you want to make sure that what they're saying is the truth? Why would you take that verbatim? At the same token, you will not take anything that the president or anyone on quote-unquote the Republican Party takes verbatim, but you're willing to take it for the other side. I think the first thing you need to answer to me is why you're willing to go that route. But there's just this distaste. Certain people have this distaste for this president. I mean, they started getting into, I don't like the way he looks. Okay, well, that's fine. What about his policy? What about his policy? Well,
I don't like the way he looks. Can you tell them?
I had that more Friday
That's
night.
That's looksism.
Yeah, I almost lost my mind. I was losing.
Yeah,
I just, you know, and you can, at some point, you've got to back it off a little because,
I know.
It's not good for a social event. And number two.
I rarely do that, but.
Yeah, I know. I'm my own worst enemy at times. But the point is, I think Republicans have sat much too long taking it, all right? Republicans, conservatives, or if you didn't want to listen to it, and it's all because of that malarkey called political correctness. But I think you're obligated. If you firmly, and I said this to someone the other day, if your moral compass tells you what you think is right, why cower down to anyone? You don't have to yell and scream. Present the facts. If you present the facts, Karen, they run away.
Well, and just like David Horowitz says often, and I agree with him, Republicans are too damn nice.
Yeah.
They're just too nice. They're always being polite, and Democrats, it's time to fight back. It's time to start rolling out the big guns, ideologically speaking, of course. Can you stay with us for a break? We'll come right back.
Of course.
Wonderful. We're talking to Gary Goldman, who is a commentator, a radio talk show host, an op-ed writer. We're going to maybe look at a couple of his op-eds that he's written. So stay tuned after this break. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and we'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Thanks to Doug, our producer, our esteemed producer at BBS Radio, for putting together all kinds of wonderful bumper music there. We are talking to Gary Goldman, a nationally recognized host of Business, Politics, and Lifestyles, a weekly talk show airing at WCRN 830 in Metro Boston. And seeing as how this is the day of the New Hampshire primary, where the Democrats are falling all over themselves, acting more clownish than the next. It's a great day to talk to Gary Goldman. But what I really want to focus on right now is his book. He's got a great new book out now called My Big Mouth and the Ugly Truth, Taking the Stress Out of Opinions Versus Facts. Well, that's curious, since you were talking about a dinner party that you went to. Tell us about this book a little bit and why people need to get a hold of it.
So, you know, I love conversing with anybody, and what I tell, I'm sure you're the same way, people that listen to the station, I don't care if you're right, left, somewhere in the middle, let's have a conversation. But the there's two parts of the conversation. One, everyone, you know, may have their opinion about things, but they quickly jump into these statements, which we'll call what they consider to be facts, and they build upon them without... You and I talked about this, checking their facts to see if what they're really hearing is the truth. And that's where I think a lot of the conversation for the last several years has gone, where people hear things, they create these narratives, and they're talking about things that just aren't true, that don't add up. One and one does not equal two. So I take a number of interviews that I've had with, you know, different people throughout the years. And most of them were done in last year, and we, you know, put my perspective on the on what was the interview, along with, you know, pulling out the facts of the conversation, showing how true facts give you the ability to make your own decision. Look, at the facts are the facts. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but the point is, Karen, you can't make up facts. It's no different than those that want to change history. You can't change history. You may not like it, but the facts are the facts. But there's just much too much talk with people that want to create their own narratives, create their own quote-unquote facts, and they go with it, and that information becomes so disseminated over time, and they converse that without, you know, conversing with other people, it's just way out of whack. So this was my opportunity to sort of put things in check, for another word.
Well, Gary, and what, who was it, Marx, who said if you tell a lie often enough, people start to believe it?
Right.
I think it was Marx or Stalin or one of those guys. We are being treated to a level of propaganda. It's so funny you mention it because I was talking about it in my monologue today. A level of propaganda that many Americans have never seen before. We could only imagine what it was like in the Soviet Union. And now we're seeing it straight out of the, you know, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. So the question is, when you tell someone a fact and you're having a discussion and they say to you, well, I don't believe that. Like something as basic as Margaret Sanger. Now, that's a good one because you can look it up. You know, the Margaret Sanger who they revere. And, you know, I wasn't always pro-life, but I've become so because the Democrats have lost their minds. And I don't want them taking out senior citizens along with everything else once they start to disrespect life. You know, it's not a slippery slope. It's a fall right off a cliff. And here you've got Democrats and you say, well, you know, that was part of eugenics. Which if you're a Jew or if you're somebody that they don't like is kind of disturbing, right? If you're revering Margaret Sanger who wanted to rid the world of undesirables, it sounds suspiciously like, you know, that guy in the 40s. And if you tell them that or a whole host of other things, they simply say, well, I don't believe that. So what do you do with those people other than to walk away, which is hard for you and me to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, what I will do with, you know, people is I'll present my facts, and when they don't believe it, if, obviously, whether it's my little phone sometimes or the computer, you pull something up to show them, then this is what you really need to look at. This is why you need to look at it. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. I'm, you know,
right.
Some people just refuse to agree with it, but you can't just make up things and purport it to be the truth. And we are going through such an era of misinformation, Karen. It is absolutely scary.
It's
on so
stunning.
Many different levels, not just the
yes.
political level. That's what concerns me so much. It's like it's on so many different levels of life that you go through that it, you know, the truth has to prevail because it just doesn't work any other way. They may think it's going to work, but it doesn't work. But people get frustrated and, you know, I know when we had before the impeachment even took place, you know, when they were doing the initial behind-the-scenes investigation, I had people arguing with me that the impeachment was well underway. He's going to be out of office within a matter of days. Mm. And they wouldn't even accept the fact that we weren't even at that stage yet.
Well, and it was rushed through. But isn't it interesting that people like that who continue to the most arrogant among us are usually the most ignorant and nobody ever holds them accountable to the same way they don't hold the left accountable. Every time they make accusations that aren't true, they turn out to be lies. Adam Schiff is just the most egregious example where he lies and lies and lies, and it doesn't matter because the media has already moved on.
Yeah, and there's when you think of what goes on, what takes place in the course of a week, by Friday, Monday's news cycle's already long gone. You know, and you know, with everything going on last week, toward the latter part of the week after the Senate, you know. We went through the impeachment. People, I'm thinking, do people still realize we have a dangerous virus spreading across the world that we're really not talking about? And they get on to the next subject, and they maybe come back to some things, and other things they just pass off, and off they go. But it's very difficult times, difficult.
And that's why the great Rush Limbaugh has always called him the drive-by media. But I do think, you know, I'm not a goody two-shoes, but I will say that I think truth does will out. Not before a lot of people do a lot of damage, but I'm feeling pretty good watching these Democrat clowns because I don't see anything. One thing I was going to tell you was when you get into that argument and you look it up and you tell them it's facts, you know what the next thing is that they say to you, don't they? Don't you? Racist?
Yeah. Well, you know,
you're a racist.
I'm very optimistic, and I said to a friend of mine today, we were talking, I said, the Democrats remind me of to a degree of the Wizard of Oz, and somebody's
yes.
going to throw some water on the wicked candidates of the East or West, whatever you want to call them, and they're slowly going to dissipate, because I think they are going to do themselves in sooner
or
later.
They
I think,
seem to be doing a good job of it. What's that old phrase? When your opponent is destroying himself, get out of the way.
Get out of the way and let him go, because it's only going to do us all well.
So, Gary, I have to let you go, but tell everybody how they can find you, how they can buy that great book of yours.
They can
write it on your website.
Yep, GaryOnBPL.com. That's GaryOnBPL.com. And if anyone wants to email me, they could email me at Gary@GaryOnBPL.com.
B as in boy, PL.com. Thank you so much, Gary, for joining us. It's always wonderful to talk to you. It's easy, it's fun, and it's funny as well. You take care. Have a wonderful week, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. So that just about wraps it up for another edition. Next week, we'll be celebrating our 100th show here on BBS Radio. Don't know what I'm going to do then, but, you know, we'll have an imaginary cake probably, since I'm on a cleanse. You know, it'll be filled with cement, but it will be an imaginary cake. That's what we'll do. And that about does it. If you'd like to join me, please follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, and go to my website where my newest piece is up now, www.KarenCataline.com. I think you know how to spell the name, but the last name is KataLine. Pronounce it Cataline, rhymes with spleen. Thank you to Doug, my producer, my illustrious producer, and to BBS Radio, the best in the business. And thanks to HW, who says he's a multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Sounds like I'm putting him down for his IQ, but he's a stinking smart guy, and today is his birthday. So happy birthday, HW. May you have many, many more. Can't wait to take you out to dinner. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.